From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on June 29th when ride hailing launched in upstate New York. That meant open season for Uber and Lyft, two companies that spent nearly $1 million in lobbying efforts trying to convince state lawmakers to allow them to operate outside of New York City. Since that day, thousands of people in Western New York have called for an Uber or a Lyft. This hour, we wanted to hear various perspectives. How are drivers faring? Is the income generating what they were promised? How is ride-hailing impacting bars, social clubs, restaurants, some of whom who had shared concerns about drunk driving, in some cases pushing for ride-hailing as a solution to drunk driving? And what about the taxi industry, which warned of potential job losses? Let me go ahead and welcome my guests for the hour. Dan Morgenstern is the owner of Radio Social, a social club that's just over 3 months old. Dan, nice to have you.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here, Evan.
I don't know what else I'm hearing in my headphones, but it's a fascinating thing. Are there other people in the studio? Maybe there's other... I'm hearing something in the background. It's going to be a fun hour, I can tell. Andrew Muldoon is an Uber driver, and he's also Director of Advancement at the University of Rochester. Andrew, welcome to you.
Thanks, Evan.
Kim Sicardi is an Uber and Lyft driver and a teacher. Kim, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Nathaniel Ashagre is an Uber driver and co-owner of Highland Transportation. Nathaniel, welcome to you as well.
Thanks, Dave.
Let me just go ahead and start by asking Dan on the business side of things. Radio Social happens to be on the list. Uber and Lyft each gave us their top 10 drop-off points and their top 10 destinations. And Radio Social is one of four destinations that's on both lists. So let me go ahead and read all of the top 10s on both, and then I'll ask you for some of your perspective on the business
side.
Uber tells us their top 10 drop-off points in Rochester since launching on June 29th. Murphy's Law, Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Park, the Public House, Radio Social, Dragonfly Tavern and Pizza Factory, Filger's East End, East Avenue Inn and Suites, Lux, Frontier Field, and the Amtrak Station. Here are the top 10 destinations for Lyft since opening in Rochester. The Greater Rochester International Airport, the University of Rochester, Wegmans, Murphy's Law, Lux, Walmart Supercenter, the Amtrak Station, Hyatt Regency Rochester, Radio Social, and Frontier Field. So you've got Lux, Murphy's Law, Radio Social, Frontier Field on both of the lists. Oh, and the Amtrak, I think. So those five of the 10 show up on both of the lists. So Radio Social is getting a lot of use, or at least a lot of traffic from people to and from ride hailing. How do you feel about the service so far?
Well, I can only say that I'm delighted to hear that we're on those top 10 lists and that so many people are choosing to use both those services to come to our location. It's interesting because I thought about this, Evan, before coming to the show. And from our perspective, one of the things is that to respond is it's very difficult to judge not knowing who is coming or who is leaving using that particular service. Vehicles aren't as easily identified as taxis or a bus or, you know, party vehicle, as opposed to or even some of the Zaxter bicycles that we're seeing starting to show up at our location. So it's really been kind of a surprise to find out that we're in that top 10 list, although I'm delighted to know that.
Okay, and when it comes to your customers who are leaving, do you hear any chatter among the clientele about using the service? That'd probably be easier to identify than those who are getting there via the service.
It would, except that, again, we're not noticing, we're not hearing it.
Okay.
It's something that's just sort of happening organically out on the sidewalk. The call is made or the text is sent, however it's done through the app, and people wander out, and we see them walking along the sidewalk and getting picked up, so... It's hard to judge that part of it.
And by the way, for our listeners who are new to Radio Social, there's like at least 10 listeners who haven't been there. It's a big space. A lot of people have been there, but if you haven't, what is Radio Social?
So Radio Social is a three-month-old enterprise that we started. It is an entertainment complex that focuses around gaming. We have 34 lanes of bowling. We have shuffleboard courts. We have cube courts. We have ping pong, pool table. We have lawns for outdoor badminton, coop can be played outdoors, croquet. I mean, the list goes on and on, all the activities that we offer. And we have a full-service restaurant that is an upscale version of a profile for Middle Eastern foods, Israeli and Arab foods. And we have a cocktail bar and a whiskey bar. So we cover a large gamut of entertainment complexities, and it's in a 40,000 plus square foot facility, so gigantic space.
I hear the food is very good, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Let's go around the table and ask the drivers their experience. And Nathaniel, I'll start with you. You're the co-owner of Highland Transportation, by the way. Which is what? What is Highland Transportation?
Well, Highland Transportation is a transportation company built over a month ago. Now it is medical transportation mostly focused on, but we do other transportation like discounted transportation for events and all other transportation.
Okay, so mostly medical transportation, but you are also an Uber driver, yes?
Yes.
How many rides have you done?
I have 59 rides so far.
59 rides so far. What do you think? I mean, is it generating extra income for you that's valuable? How do you feel about the service?
First of all, the app is really easy to use app, and it is also becoming like a side income for me to just advance my, you know, just economy and to get like at least a little bit more incomes and to just be able to make more decent money. So it's going so far so good.
Any incidents with the riders? Has it been easy, positive?
So far, every riders that I have were positive, and they were enjoying Uber and they were excited because it's the beginning of the Uber launching in upstate New York. So most of them are the first time riders, and I was just telling them, let's just make the first time ride a good experience. So we were just having fun and enjoying
their first ride with you, Nathaniel. They're going to judge a lot on the service based on one ride. So
that's true.
So it sounds like it's gone well for you. Kim Sicardi is an Uber and a Lyft driver, along with being a teacher, and you've done a lot more rides. How many rides?
I think today I've hit 300.
Is that mostly for Lyft or Uber?
Mostly Uber, but I had Uber longer than I had Lyft. But I'm looking at, you know, 800 to 900 passengers in my car since July 4th.
Okay. And what's your experience with it?
I'm loving it. I didn't think that it would be as eye-opening as it is. I've become a lot more aware of the world around me. I've had at least 10 to 12 different countries represented in my car, 10 to 12 different states. And the contributions that the riders have are really interesting. I'm sort of trained to believe that children have things to offer being a teacher, but the conversations that I'm having are incredibly valuable for being a wife and a mother and a teacher and getting an adult perspective on the town we live in. And of the people that I've had in my car, not one person has said anything disparaging about Rochester, even the winters. So I'm incredibly proud to drive here and live here now. I didn't realize how awesome our town was until I started driving around it.
Now, you are a teacher, so is this going to be just a summer additional income for you?
I think so. I'll probably turn the service on the weekends and when I get home from work. I live in the suburbs, so we don't get tons of business, but on the weekends, I think I'll keep it on.
What is it like for those who've thought about driving, you know, for having done more than 300 rides already? Tell me how the alert process works and generally how far you feel you end up going to go, and take me through that.
Well, I have a software, I have an app that runs both services at the same time. So for me, they automatically accept the jobs, and then the map comes up and it tells me where to go, tells me approximately how far away it is. One thing that sort of stuns the riders is we don't know where we're going when we pick you up. So we could be going to Buffalo or Syracuse. So I like to ask my rider right away, you know, where are we going? Confirm the address. And then we're off and we just navigate our way to wherever we're going. And it's a simple system. The one thing I would say I don't love is that it gives an address and not a location. So if it's Radio Social, I know right how to get there, but I don't know the address. So I'm wishing that they had a feature that told me East Ave Wegs or Frontier Field.
Again, when you say that, you mean both? You know, what has been easier for you to drive, for Uber or Lyft?
I find them to be the same. They both have some features that I like on Uber better and some features I like on Lyft better. But I'm happy to work with both systems and take anybody anywhere they need to go.
Okay, well, here's another perspective. Andrew Muldoon is an Uber driver. And you haven't done quite as many as Kim there. More along the lines of Nathaniel. How many rides for you?
56. I'm the new guy in the group.
Okay. And what were your thoughts about, you know, becoming a ride-hailing driver before you started doing it, and has it lived up to that?
Sure. So I have used Uber in big cities for a few years and always appreciated the service that it provided. So I sort of looked at it as a social experiment. I moved to Rochester about 14 years ago, and to Kim's point, I think it's been a great way for me to know our city better and differently. Some of my most enjoyable rides have started in parts of the city that I'm not familiar with at all. Just wonderful people who are using this as an option so they can avoid walking 13 blocks on a 90-degree day. I've got a great job for the university. I love what I do, and this was something that I sort of laughed at first, and now it's been a great resource for me financially, and it's something that I like to do in some of my spare time.
Has it been a letdown in any way?
So one late evening on the weekend, I was picking up rides around midnight, and I was downtown on East Avenue thinking that I'd just bounce around between some of the bars or taking people home around Park Ave, and I got a ride from Webster. So I went out to Webster to pick up these guys, and when I got there, they were already really well-seasoned, so they had been getting after it for a little while.
Well-seasoned. That's an interesting euphemism.
And so they were a little rowdy in the car, and by the time that we had figured out where we were going, they wanted to go to Murphy's. I had realized that they put East Avenue Rochester, so Uber kept telling me to go different ways. So I missed the exit, and I've got these now two guys who are becoming a bit aggressive in the car that I'm not just getting where they want to go. Meanwhile, I'm trying to follow the directions that Uber's providing. And so I think there's still some information and education that we need to do as drivers for riders, that if they need to change a destination, that they can do that all through the app, that it's not necessarily that easy for us to do it as drivers when we're trying to get them there safely, especially when they can be distracting and rambunctious as these two knuckleheads were.
Did you feel unsafe at all?
So it's like my mom's channeling you right now, Evan. This is what Sue likes to say.
Andrew, I'm concerned about you.
It's true. No, I've never felt unsafe. I mean, I'm a bigger guy and certainly feel like if something bad was going to happen, that I would make all the right decisions and my safety is first. But these guys were aggressive and they're not the kinds of people that I would generally spend time with. Outside of that, I've had 55 other really good experiences.
And all right, so one bad one, 55 good ones. Right. Were you concerned, by the way, for the upholstery on your vehicle?
I was not. No, thankfully they weren't that well seasoned.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. By the way, Kim Sicardi, more than 300. How many bad experiences would you categorize?
I don't think I've had anything that's a deal breaker.
Nothing that stands out?
No.
Anybody who's really well seasoned? I'm going to keep using that, Andrew. That's a good one.
Yes. This is a funny story. This is one of my favorites. I picked up someone at a restaurant, and this was right when the service started. And there was a bunch of guys in the parking lot, and they looked in the window and said, "Hey, she's cute." Like, I think I don't know what they thought was going to be pulling up. And the well-seasoned passenger looked up and just looked right at me and got sick everywhere in the parking lot.
In the parking lot, though.
And I was like, I was cute for like 8 seconds, you know? And then it was like, but we cleaned him up, and I felt like it was probably a rite of passage to take someone that was that sick. So I have blankets in my car. I have a bucket. I have everything. I'm a mom, so I have everything that you would need. And, you know, when I looked at the situation, his friends were going to drive him home. And I thought, that's not the good alternative. So
because they might have been drinking as well?
They were, yeah. It was not a good scene. So it was only a couple miles away. But it was the right thing for me to take him home instead of look at his friends and say, he's yours.
Okay, so a couple of things here. Can you decline? I would assume that you can decline if someone's in either really aggressive, dangerous, really intoxicated. I don't know.
Yes, you can. When you sign up for these, there's a very strict anti-discrimination policy. You have to pick up unless you feel that your safety is in jeopardy. I didn't feel at all unsafe, but if I did, I certainly would have said, you know, you're going to have to call for another ride. I can't provide the service. But I have never, in the 300 rides, I've never felt unsafe at all. I don't know why. I mean, it violates every rule you were ever taught. Don't get in the car with strangers. Don't pick up strangers. Don't eat their candy. I have candy.
But Kim, don't you think, again, now we're going to get into a totally separate subject here, but I'm uncomfortable with what we tell kids about strangers. I tell my 5-year-old that most people you will ever meet are kind and want the best for you. And that, yes, you have to protect yourself and be careful. But for some reason, for decades in this country, we have taught kids that strangers are to be feared. And so maybe that's why you thought that. But it turns out your experience has been really good, right?
Well, it's how we were raised. But I have a 13-year-old, and we try to teach him to be discerning and not judgmental. Make eye contact, be aware of your surroundings, get off your phone, look around at your environment. And, you know, in some cases, a stranger is you're going to be your best asset if you're in a jam. And like I said, I have met people in my car that have brought me to tears. They're so wonderful. And I'll never see them again, which is kind of heartbreaking. But I have found the stranger to be just a tremendous asset to who I am as a person.
Okay, so listeners, if you got questions or comments, have you taken an Uber or a Lyft? How do you feel about ride hailing? How do you feel about its impact? I want to mention that we did reach out to Franny Sobchak, who's a member of Workers United and the Rochester Taxi Drivers Association. She had joined previous discussions on this show about ride hailing and the possible impact on taxi companies. So we checked back in with her. We invited her to be part of today's conversation. She told us that her organization is not prepared yet to discuss the current issues, and we're going to revisit this conversation in the future. Franny is always welcome, and we always like hearing her voice on this. So that will certainly be part of future conversations. But in the meantime, if you want to reach out, listeners, we'd love to hear from you on ride hailing in any form. 844-295-TALK, that's toll free. 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. 263-9994. I'll close the loop with the drivers and ask Nathaniel, have you mentioned that 59 rides, they've all essentially been positive, but anything negative in those 59 rides? Have you ever felt for your safety, feared for your safety at all?
No, not at all. And it was a pleasure and a good experience for me because I've been able to meet different people from different areas because I took people to the airport and from the airport. I mean, not from the airport, but like to the airport and people from outside other countries. And they'd be telling me what it is like to be in Rochester and all the different experience they have in and places they've been visiting and all that, and it's like it gave me like a greater view of the Rochester area. And I'm like, oh, all this around here? I'm like, got me surprised, and it's just like, I should check it out. And it's just it's an eye-opening experience for me.
That's great. I mean, and Kim's got a big smile on her face. It lines up exactly with what you said. I want to explore one other point before we start taking your phone calls for all of our panelists, which is this. Kim, you mentioned you see somebody literally vomiting on the street, and you're looking at their friend saying, the alternative would have been for the least drunk person in that group to drive. Mm-hmm. So at the very least, at that moment, you're thinking, well, it's a good thing I'm here, it sounds like. Is that, to you, one of the benefits of ride hailing, that even if people don't want to admit it, they go out with a group and sometimes pre-ride hailing? Now, the argument could have been you could have taken a taxi. I know those conversations come up. But do you think that that is one of ride hailing's benefit, that the quote-unquote least drunk person is no longer going to be forced to drive?
Absolutely. And I'm noticing, I'm taking a lot of couples that both want to drink together. They're not getting knocked down drunk, but they want the third glass of wine, or they want to go have a nightcap somewhere. When I think about the people that I'm taking around, a month ago, a month and a half ago, one of those people would have driven. And to be able to provide that safe way home. And even for kids that are at parties, kids saying 18 or older, that don't want to stay at a party, that don't feel comfortable going home with their friends, there's no stigma in pulling out your phone and saying, I'm going to go home now. I've picked up lots of 18 to 25-year-olds that just don't want to be part of the party anymore, and they can safely get home and with the service that we provide. So I feel much better providing a safe way for anyone to get where they need to be.
Let me ask Dan Morgenstern, who is the owner of Radio Social. You know, again, as you say, it's hard for you to tell which your clientele is using ride hailing. But just as the owner of a place where people are consuming drinks, certainly I know you, and none of us want to see people driving drunk. Did you feel that that was part of this conversation, that this was part of a potential benefit to ride hailing, you know, that maybe a few more people who leave your establishment will do so with someone else driving when maybe they shouldn't be driving?
I don't think there's any question about that, Evan. That's probably one of the first things that comes to all of our minds as to the value to have Uber and Lyft in a city like Rochester. I think one of the things that we need to understand, or that is ought to be part of the conversation, is how does Uber benefit, or what is the relationship that a service like Uber has to a city like Rochester, which is very different in my mind than to a city like Chicago or New York or LA or any major metropolitan area, where transportation, they don't own as many vehicles, they don't have the automobiles, they don't have the ease of access around a community the way Rochesterians have a tremendous ease of access in a city like ours. So Uber's service is less significant for someone who doesn't own a vehicle, because I think on a proportionate basis, many less people in Rochester don't own vehicles. And so its purpose is, I think, focused, laser focused in a different way. And certainly the concept of concern for alcohol consumption or the ability to leave, as Kim had suggested, a party that you don't want to be a part of any longer, there is a certain cachet to using the app to call Uber rather than I have to call mom or I have to call somebody else to come out. There's a sort of cool factor. You know, you punch the button on Uber, you get the service, you go, and nobody thinks twice that that's sort of an uncool way to leave an event. So I think that those are the opportunities that Uber offers, one of the many opportunities that Uber offers to a place like Rochester.
Isn't that interesting? What a good point that Dan's making. You know, in New York City, people are used to getting around without a car. Here, we think we can drive anywhere, park right in front, go right inside, and if we have to pay it all, we're
correct.
Upset.
That's right.
And the danger is we do that even if we're drinking.
That's correct.
Yeah. What an interesting point. Andrew, any thoughts on that? Because, again, I know you had those very well-seasoned, the guys who showed up with a lot of Montreal steak seasoning, or whatever, however they were seasoned, well-lubricated. They get in your car, but... In the back of your mind, are you also thinking, at least I can be here and they're not driving? Or have there been other instances where you think, you know, these people probably on the edge, it's a good thing that they're not driving?
Sure. Yeah, I think about the Party in the Park series a great deal, and that was on the list for top 10 destinations. I'm so glad. I love that Rochester is bringing better talent to the city, and now there's going to be an influx of new people. I want to help get them there safely and then get them home safely at the end of the night. And Thursday nights of the summer have been a good opportunity to make some extra money and do, as Kim said, do some good work and help some people get home.
Okay. Nathaniel, how do you feel about just making sure that you can be the wheels for people who shouldn't be on the road?
Actually, I feel like I'm contributing something to the community and the society around it, because this drinking and driving is not a joke. We should do something about it, and this Uber and ride-sharing apps are very important and helpful, because in a way it's kind of reliable and cheaper for the customers to use, and it's going to help a lot, I'll say.
Okay, well, listeners, let's get to Gary and Matt on the phone after our only break. So if you're there, we're going to come back to your phone calls, and I'd love to hear from more of our listeners in our second half hour. It's 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255. Andrew, Kim, and Nathaniel are all drivers for ride-hailing services. Dan Morgenstern is the owner of Radio Social, which is doing a promo code with Uber. Is that correct, Dan?
Oh, you forgot about that.
Yeah.
Very good.
Go ahead. Tell me more about that.
So we reached out to Uber, actually prior to our understanding the place that we occupy in their top 10 lists, but we had understood that they create partnerships with various businesses, and we chose to reach out to them to ask them about the possibility of a partnership and how that might work. And what we've come up with is that they recognize the symbiotic relationship between their service and destination locations like ours. And while it's very difficult for us to measure offhand what they bring to us, the fact that we're number four on the list tells us that we are a great source for them as a business generator, as a revenue generator. And so as a result, we have a great opportunity to create a relationship, a partnership, and whereby they want to reach out to first-time Uber users. They want to introduce the service. We have the opportunity to provide that a stream of new users, and so we're going to be able to provide a free or discounted first person ever trip on Uber if they use a Radio Social code. And that's one of the first things that we'll be doing. The other side of it is to be able to offer discounted trips that we'll be able to do with our corporate clients. So folks that come to us that have a major event at Radio Social that might invite 150 to 200 people, which we are booking regularly at this point, we now have an option to be able to offer that corporate client the ability to tell their guests that they can relax, they can enjoy themselves at this event, and because of their willingness to help sponsor or support this event through Uber, they will be able to get a discounted fare, taking them back from that event.
All right, so you're seeing a little bit of a symbiotic relationship, just local local businesses like Radio Social. Interesting to see if that will happen more often. So listeners, let's get back to your phone calls after our only break of the hour as we talk ride-hailing right here on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we take a look at plans for part of the old Interloop that's been filled, the eastern third of the Interloop, and now the Strong Museum of Play wants to create an entire neighborhood of play using part of that space. What would the project entail? From residential to retail to an expansion of the museum to parking, is it walkable? Does it fit together with the city? We'll take a look at all of that next hour. Welcome back to Connections. June 29th was the launch of ride hailing in upstate New York, and we're talking about the early impact, what drivers are experiencing, what businesses are experiencing. We reached out to the Taxi Drivers Association of Rochester and Workers United. They declined to participate in this conversation, so they're not prepared to discuss the current issue as yet, but we've talked to them in the past, and they had shared their concerns. Their concerns are that they could lead to job losses, among other things, and certainly you will hear their voices. They are welcome, and in future conversations, you will continue to hear those voices. But listeners, I open it up to you now, 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester, 263-9994. Have you used ride hailing? Are you concerned about ride hailing? Do you think it has been a positive so far? Do you have questions about how it works? Let's go ahead and get to some of that, and we're going to start with Gary in Rochester first. Go ahead, Gary.
Evan, how are you?
Good.
Listen, I'll speak on behalf of the taxi drivers of the city of Rochester, and Uber has had a very severe impact on their income. With that being said, if you can't beat them, join them. So I attempted to drive for Uber, and I inquired into what it would take to drive for Uber, and because I presently have for hire insurance on my car, taxi insurance, I would have to, since Uber does not accept taxis for drivers, I was going to get regular insurance for my vehicle. Now, I contacted four of the major insurance companies, Geico, Progressive, Farmers, and Allstate. And I was told by all four of them that I was not allowed to use my vehicle to drive for Uber. My question is, who are these people getting insurance with? And do they realize, or have they contacted their insurance company and notified them that their insurance is essentially no good if you're an Uber driver?
All right, Gary, stay there. It's a good question. Andrew, you want to start with that?
Sure. The way I understand it, Gary, is that the Uber policy actually covers us once we are actually on the clock, if you will. So if we've accepted a ride and we're traveling to the destination, if we have riders in our car and we're moving towards that, then Uber's policy actually covers us. So it supersedes what we would have as our individual driver insurance.
Right. I understand that. But there is a time which is called, they call it gap insurance, which isn't available in New York State. And that is what you need when the passenger is not in your car. And this is according to the major insurance companies, and I can't imagine that they're telling me something that isn't true.
No, Gary, you're probably right, but the way I remember it during the orientation, which is very informal, but they encourage you to stay in a fixed location when you're looking for your next ride. So Uber isn't encouraging us to go canvassing Rochester or the greater Rochester area looking for rides. It encourages us to stay in a fixed location so that the app can do more of the work for us.
So essentially when I'm driving my car, I am not covered by any insurance, not even my own? Is that what you're saying?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm suggesting
that's what the insurance companies are saying to me.
What I'm saying is when I'm not actually working, meaning when I don't have a fare in motion, then I am just my normal individual self with my automobile insurance. It's only when I'm actually working.
According to what the insurance company is telling me, they're saying no. I am not covered. If I am an Uber driver, period, I am no longer covered under their policy. If I get into an accident, they will deny the claim and cancel my policy.
Gary, I'm not sure
now, there's
about...
There's something going on here that, yeah, that needs to
that
be brought
sound...
out, because if people sure. are actually not covered, do these people realize, have they contacted their insurance company? Now, you have drivers up there. Have any of them contacted their insurance company and asked them, as I'm an Uber driver, am I still covered under my personal policy for when I'm driving to the store?
I'm not sure. I'll let them answer, Gary. I don't have any clue why an insurance company would say, okay, Andrew, when you drive as a Lyft or Uber driver, you are covered by Lyft or Uber only when you are driving for that work. Otherwise, you're covered by your insurance, correct?
That's exactly right.
I can't imagine why an insurance company would say, well, if you're an Uber driver, even though you're covered by Uber, when you're working for Uber, we won't cover you otherwise. That doesn't...
That's exactly what they told me.
Okay,
Progressive, Geico, okay. Farmers, and Allstate told me exactly the same thing. I can't imagine that they're giving me, don't want my policy.
Okay, but what I'm saying, Gary, is just listen here. Have you been told anything like that?
No.
Have you looked into it?
Yes.
Have you, Kim, you've been told anything like that?
I have not been told that, and we have to submit our insurance documents to Uber and Lyft, and then they contact to make sure that our policies are valid.
Okay, Nathaniel, have you been told anything like that?
No,
okay.
I haven't.
I mean, Gary, if what you were saying is true, there would be no Uber and Lyft. That's all I'm saying is, you know, so maybe there's something lost in translation, right?
Listen, it's a phone call. Make
okay.
the phone call.
Okay.
Call Geico. Ask them.
Okay, and I'll ask our producer to kind of Google around and see if we can find.
I would not take the chance.
Okay, so Gary, one other question for you.
Sure.
Go back to the beginning. You said that as a taxi driver, you are a taxi driver, is that right?
I am.
Okay. What has the impact been so far? Because I am curious to know. And what do you expect it to be going forward from ride hailing on your industry? Go ahead.
It has really put a big impact on the taxi business. We are in the process of trying to even the ground, so to say, with the city as far as the rules and the regulations that we have to follow. I mean, there is about 40 to 45 pages of rules and regulations that taxi cabs have to follow and abide by. And now you have a company coming into the city that has absolutely no oversight whatsoever by the city of Rochester. They can do what they want. They can drive what they want. The drivers can be who they want. And they can set any prices they want to. In the taxi industry, we are every year we have to provide, you know, police, whatever you call them. We have to have these cars inspected twice a year. These cars are held to high standards. Everything about the taxi industry is regulated right down to the amount of the fare, which is put in by the county, and these meters are sealed. We have set rates. We can't change them. On a Friday or Saturday night, the average Uber and Lyft vehicle charges actually more than a taxi does.
All right. Well, Gary, let me just say what you just said, and I certainly appreciate the phone call, Gary. We'll look into more on the insurance stuff. I haven't heard it. But what Gary just said is the most common and frankly to me, the most common sense argument against ride hailing to begin with is it is an uneven playing field or very, very different rules and regulations. Now, New York State lawmakers were not swayed by that. I wonder if any of our drivers have any sort of, you know, when you hear a taxi driver, do you feel for him at all? You guys want to jump on that at all?
So I live on the east side of town, and I regularly like to go to the South Wedge. Cub Room is one of my favorite destinations before Radio Social. It would routinely be somewhere between $28 and $35 to get there from my house. Now with Uber or Lyft, it's about a $15 fare. That's significant. That's money that I realize is now not going to a taxi cab company. Some of it's going to a driver, and some of it's going right back to the establishment, to the restoration or my destination. That's something that I'm really proud of, because although I understand that this industry is changing and it's evolving, there are standards. I appreciate that it's more crowdsourced now, that our riders are the ones that are rating us, that are helping us maintain our standards. Uber does encourage us to make sure our vehicles are clean. Our vehicles must be inspected. We must have insurance. We must have really good driving records. So there is some significant background work that goes into it.
It's still not the same as the taxi.
Of course not. It never will be. But we've been giving each other rides forever. I give my buddies rides all the time. This is just a different way to do it. And it is closer to regulated than not in terms of what it used to be. You used to be able to go to Craigslist and go look for a ride share. It's still a thing you can do. This is a huge step forward from that. But no, it's not a taxi company.
Okay. So in other words, it sounds like what I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Andrew, but what it sounds like I'm hearing you say is this. In this particular field of our lives, traveling, getting around, transportation, it's a little different in your mind regulating it, because if I called you and said, hey, I got a flat tire, can you take me to work today? You wouldn't have to have regulation the same way a taxi would. So Uber and Lyft and ride hailing is sort of filling that gap or somewhere in the middle, and that's the world we live in. It sounds like you think, you know, that's kind of the world we live in.
Absolutely. That's 100% the way I think and the way that I sort of approach this. And I am so excited about a world with autonomous vehicles and self-driving cars and all of this that makes it so much simpler, but we're not there yet.
Okay. Any other thoughts from our drivers on that, from Gary? No? Okay. So, listeners, we'll get back to your phone calls in a second. We've been trying to get a little information on insurance, and I think a different Gary is here to help with that. So go ahead, Gary.
Hi, Evan. Thanks. Yeah, I was kind of interested in what the caller was talking about the insurance, because I had wondered that myself. So in order to help out and clarify, so I went to an independent insurance website, and actually it sounds like both your guests are right, that the insurance that Uber offers doesn't kick in unless the app is on, and then it cuts off when the passenger leaves the vehicle. So I think what the first Gary was talking about, so if one of your drivers is waiting for someone or is waiting in a location, as long as the app is on, it covers. And it does state that he is right in that it was the policy of Uber that the passenger had to actually be in the car and that they changed that. But one thing I'm reading here on this is that people that drive for this really, if Gary did give good advice, they should check with their individual policy, because some insurance companies will require that you be a commercial driver and that your vehicle is being used for commercial purposes and your insurance could be affected. The other thing is that they might want to be careful of is it states here that the Uber coverage is a very low level of liability for the passengers. So, you know, I think the best advice is what Gary did. I think as individuals, before somebody considers driving for one of these, is check with their own insurance company to see what is or isn't covered. Thanks.
All right, Gary, first of all, great advice from both Garys. Always check and you understand what your insurance does and does not cover, and you're clear on that. It does sound like it's wrong to say that your insurance would just drop you if you're an Uber driver outside of driving for Uber, or Lyft driver outside of driving for Lyft. And it looks like, according to Policy Genius, that that we're seeing, you know, maybe some updated information. New York is new in this, so you know, I'll sort more through this. But and I'm already hearing from other people on Twitter regarding insurance. Let's see here. This comes from Joe. Says, I work in insurance. Private insurance does cover you when not working. Uber and Lyft cover while working. Also, info later. Policy Genius Online talks about what they call gap coverage. So the bottom line is check and know what the deal is, whether you're a rider or a driver. But Uber and Lyft could not exist in this state if people were simply just not covered. You know, that just, but I still think insurance companies occasionally deny claims, and it's good to know how they would try to deny a claim or when they might try to deny a claim and what the rules are. So both Garys, thank you for those phone calls. Let's go back to some other issues at play here, and I'm going to turn to Matt next up. Go ahead, Matt.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
So I started as a Uber rider, and I'm now an Uber driver, and I just love interacting with people. I've had a great time doing this. And one thing I picked up from a ride I took in the UK was to get a dash cam. They make ones that fit right over your rearview mirror. And rather than rig the backup camera to your license plate, you can put it right above your mirror and get an internal view of your vehicle, and people behave so much better when they know they're being watched. I've had rowdy people calm right down. They're like, oh, there's a camera. Oh, I hit this guy. He's got it right there. So that's my tidbit of advice is get a dash cam. You know, it calms your riders down. And if you get into a road accident, someone hits you, you have video evidence. And they're not terribly expensive, under $100.
All right, Matt, thank you for that. I wonder if our riders feel the need for that. Nathaniel, do you feel the need to do that? How do you feel about that?
Well, I already have a front camera, okay. So I already installed it and put it on, so I'm using that.
Okay. Kim?
I do not have one. I know a couple drivers that do have them and have suggested them. I just haven't done it yet, but I might.
Okay. Andrew?
I don't have one. I'm not sure that that's something I want to pursue for the amount of drives I do.
Okay. Thank you, Matt, for that. Elizabeth in Rochester next on the phone. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hi. So my name's Elizabeth. I recently graduated from college, and I was actually looking at jobs elsewhere because I can't afford to have an apartment and a car. But Uber allows me to have an apartment in the city and be able to get around as I need to. And pay for my student loans.
As a driver or passenger, Elizabeth?
As a passenger, I am able to move around the city as I want without having to pay for car payments and for all sorts of. I don't have to pay gas. I just pay for my ride, which is much more affordable to me.
And what's your mindset on taxis? Our friends in the taxi industry would say, well, how come you haven't called for taxis in the past?
Well, because taxis are not always available. I've definitely tried to use the taxis in Rochester, but, as a young woman, when the bars close at, 2 a.m., or let's say I'm at a, house party at, all hours of the night, I'll call and they just will say they aren't available, which is, they're not reliable to me.
Well, thank you for that experience, Elizabeth. So there's someone who's echoing what we've heard in the past, which, again, this is all anecdotal, but I've heard on this program three different times on three different shows that people occasionally can't get a taxi when they need it. Dan Morgenstern, the owner of Radio Social, how often do you see taxis showing up taking people away or to you?
Well, again, because they're more obvious to me,
yeah.
They're well marked and
yeah.
Easier to identify. So we do see them. If we get one or two in an evening, it's a lot. We certainly get them during the week.
One or two in an evening would be a lot.
Yeah, would be a lot. Yeah, for sure. But if I might make a comment, it strikes me that the young lady that just spoke to us about the ability to have Uber as a transportation alternative, one of the things that I really enjoy about the idea of Uber anywhere, but here in a city like, again, going back to the city like Rochester, mm-hmm. We need... I've been living downtown. I have a loft downtown. I live here for 12 years already, and we see that one of the biggest problems we have, of course, is parking inside the city itself in the downtown marketplace. And part of the challenge we have with retail, with businesses, is that everyone who lives suburban parts of our county want to, or even the outlying counties, want to be able to drive their vehicles in, whether it's going to work or whatever it is that they're going to do, and parking becomes this enormous problem. What really attracts me about these ride services is that it is a real pathway out of the need to own vehicles. And if this country wants to see that direction, if we want to see less use of motor vehicles, if we want to see those issues that regard environmental causes, and I'm not here to promote any of those specifically, I'm just trying to say that I really think it's great to be able to offer that as an alternative. I have a 32-year-old son who has lived in metropolitan areas, moved back here from Tel Aviv a few years ago. And if he never needed to get into a car again in his life, he'd be thrilled. He does it out of necessity in this market. But this is what is so great for us, is the opportunity to be able to find pathways out of that need.
Circulators, too. There's a lot of talk about circulators, you know, different ways to not be addicted to the idea of just driving. But right now, you're right. The culture is, the expectation is you're going to be able to drive there and park there and generally pay very little to do that. So, interesting. Let me jump back to your calls. We'll grab one more here. This is Mark in Rochester. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Evan. How you doing?
Good.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, yeah.
I'm calling. Yes, yeah. I'm listening to you in my kitchen and making scrambled eggs, and I felt the need to have to call in. In regard to what somebody was saying about how it's cheaper to take an Uber or a Lyft from one of the suburbs into the city versus taking one of the cabs, sure, I understand that. But I think the people who are going to be using these rideshare apps more often are the people who actually live in the city. So to subjugate them to increased rates at the benefit of those who use it less doesn't seem to make much sense to me. And I think that if Uber or Lyft really wants to thrive in this environment, they have to realize that $7 as a minimum charge is $5 more than you would take it from a cab.
As a base rate, right?
As a base rate, as a starting flat rate. Plus, there's some nefarious doings with their location-based services, which they finally made not unnecessary for you to have your location turned on. But there have been times in the past, I remember when Lyft was here a couple of years ago, I was dropped off and was about to call another one, and you can see the little drivers driving around, right? And I hadn't pinged them yet. I hadn't requested them. And it said, nearest driver is 1 mile away. Nearest driver is 3/4 of a mile away. Half a mile, 1/4 of a mile. And then they were right there without me requesting them. I understand that if you have a smartphone or you live in 2017, you're subject to location tracking services from Apple or the government or Mark Zuckerberg or whoever. But I don't want Joe Uber or Jane Lyft knowing where I am without me telling them so.
All right, Mark, I got to let our guests respond. Those sound like some awesome scrambled eggs. Thanks, man. And call the program anytime. On the subject of base rates, $7 a base rate? Is that correct?
$7.35 on Uber.
$7.35, the same? $7.35? Okay. Any complaints about that you've heard from passengers? Is that too high?
No, I haven't heard that once.
No complaints? More than 300 rides? Any complaints?
No.
Nathaniel, okay. Mark is saying that for him that seems high. What about the question that's come up when it comes to surge pricing? Does surge pricing happen? And are we going to see more of that in the Rochester area? Should we be concerned about that? And how do you know that it's coming if it happens?
So the way I understand it, it's all supply and demand, and there are an abundance of Uber drivers right now. So although surge pricing does happen, the frequency in Rochester is not that high at this point.
Okay. And some of our listeners want to know, can you pay with cash when you ride?
No.
Cannot pay with cash. Uber or Lyft?
No.
No.
Cannot pay with cash. Have to pay with a card.
You can tip with cash.
Okay. Tip with cash. Pay with a card. Last question then, because we're down to our last minute. One of our listeners, Katie, was bringing up the idea of doing it full time. Can you just drive for Uber and Lyft? Could you do it full time, and would you make a good salary?
You probably could. I would never do it. I've got a great job with the university, working with amazing volunteers.
Could you do it here in Western New York and make enough money to survive?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not until we get more riders.
Okay. Nathaniel?
I don't think so. It's not as busy as I was expecting it would be.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like it's an economic boost for people who are already working, but not necessarily full-time. And Katie, thank you for that question. So great conversation this hour. I want to stress again, we did reach out to Workers United and the Rochester Taxi Drivers Association. We were glad to hear from Gary, a taxi driver, called the program. Franny Sobchak, a very kind person and someone who's been on the program before, declined to come on this one, but Franny, you're always welcome. We'll talk to you again in the future. And I just want to thank all of our guests who have been here. Dan Morgenstern, you'll see him out at Radio Social. It's nice having you here. Thank you, Dan. Really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Evan. Thank you.
Our thanks also to Andrew Muldoon, Kim Sicardi, Nathaniel Chagre, all drivers for Uber or Uber and Lyft. Thank you to all of you for coming in and sharing your experiences.
Thank you very much.
Nice having
Thanks,
you.
Evan.
And
thank
you. Maybe if you call for an Uber or Lyft today, the people on this program will be driving you. We're going to continue to have this kind of conversation because this is new. I'm certainly not an expert. Still a lot of insurance questions that are coming in. We'll keep doing the research. But thanks for all the great comments on this hour on that. Short break, more connections coming up.